morning, everyone. Jamie Lynch in with you and Tyler Zuli. Welcome into the Fanatic at 5. We got Benny Odita producing today. And D. Lineham and Rob Motti are coming up at 6 a.m. But happy hump day, Tyler. Yeah, hump day.
Please don't tell me you're one of those guys.
No, I'm not. That's awful. I'm mocking it. I guess it became popular, during that commercial?
The camel commercial, sure.
And then it just kind of got beaten to death. And now when you say it, people want to fight you.
It's like nails on the chalkboard.
Hump day. Well, it's Eagles hump day. It's midweek, and I guess it's mentally time as we turn the page to look ahead to the Vikings. Yesterday, Jim Schwartz and offensive coordinator Mike Groh met with the media. There wasn't a whole lot of groundbreaking stuff. The thing I took out of it the most was Jim Schwartz talking about Jalen Mills. And it is the hot button topic amongst Eagles fans. It's a fascinating topic to me because he's kind of turned into the Robert Covington of Eagles Twitter. He's not as good as some people think. He's not as bad as other people think. He's a helpful player that's somewhere in the middle, but for whatever reason is a polarizing figure. And I understand why. I mean, he had the fake fan comment and the finger wagging on a 60-yard dropped ball. You know, people ain't got time for that. But we'll play Jim Schwartz in a minute, but is that a fair assessment of the Jalen Mills situation?
I think that's extremely fair because you get the same thing from both of those guys. Sometimes you're going to get a 25-point night from Robert Covington. Sometimes you're going to get a pick and a couple of pass breakups from Jalen Mills. Sometimes you're going to get Robert Covington 0 for 10 from the field, and sometimes Jalen Mills is going to get, he's going to be burnt.
Eight targets for 130 yards in the Tampa Bay game.
He'll be burnt toast with green hair.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. He has skills for this league. He everybody harps on the speed. Stop putting on double moves and clean up your Corey Unlin, their secondaries coach, has even said, he's just got to clean up his technique and he'll be fine. Like, this guy has proven it to you in the past. So the rush to bench him kind of puts my brain in a pretzel a little bit. Because Sidney Jones, look, I'll show you the video from draft night. I'm number one Sidney Jones fanboy. You know, switching to the outside and him switching inside, you can't just assume it's going to work. It's a lot of moving parts, and it's a totally different ballgame.
There's a reason the backup's the most loved guy on the team.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think the Eagles have three different corners who are quite good at one thing and quite bad at the other.
Yeah.
So you have three guys who are just going to be matchup nightmares for your team because when you don't rotate around on the field, all you're going to see is take a team like the Falcons, for example. Could you imagine if Calvin Ridley had come into his own in week one the way he has the last 2 weeks? You would put Julio on Ronald Darby because he can't tackle, and you would put Jalen Mills on Calvin Ridley on Jalen Mills because he'd blow by him.
Yeah.
It's an issue regardless of what you have.
It is. So here's Jim Schwartz yesterday at the press conference talking about Jalen Mills and the situation and fans calling for benching him. Here's Jim.
I'm firmly behind Jalen Mills as a corner. One of the reasons we had a big parade on Broad Street was Jalen Mills. And, he's played a lot like a 2-2 corner. We've played a lot like a 2-2 defense. We've played a lot like a 2-2 team right now. There's been inconsistencies all around, but it's our job to help him through that. It's his job to get out of that. That guy's played a lot of good football for us, and he's epitomizes a lot of things we're about defensively, toughness and competitiveness and ability to bounce back, and I'm confident he will.
I agree with almost everything he said, and he can get better, and he does things well. To me, this is an overall secondary issue. Something's off entirely this year, and he's the focal point of it because he called fans fake, which I totally get. And fans are justified to be ticked. But I don't know if people are paying attention to Ronald Darby this year. He's not having a great year either. Malcolm Jenkins is, for the most part, but when he's up in the box playing, that jackknife position, I think it's communication issues. They don't seem to be on the same page all the time. I think it's on Jim Schwartz to adjust to situational football at times and get away from the wide nine occasionally. I'm not saying break your style or your system entirely, but if it's third and seven and Darby and Mills are playing 10 yards off, there's a time when you need to press, and because you aren't going to get home and get the sack. And I just think overall as a unit, the entire secondary needs to get a lot better, and it starts with Jim Schwartz.
It's been subpar. There's no doubt about it. And I think you're right that Jalen Mills is kind of the scapegoat simply because of his comments.
And the finger wagging drives people nuts.
And it drives people insane. I mean,
but isn't Jalen Mills a guy we should love? You know, a seventh round pick, fought his way into a starting role, won a Super Bowl.
I think you should. Yeah, but
the guy dyed his hair green for.
But
for
last year doesn't do anything for me.
But,
I mean, thank you. It was great. I will never forget you, and I hope that you never have to buy a drink again in
the
city.
But after two games this year, people were saying bench him. It's like, it kind of blew my mind a little bit.
I'm not ready to totally bench him, but I am ready to see something else in practice. Let's see what else is an option. And if it's Rasul Douglas who doesn't make the cut,
they made a mistake, Sidney Jones, yeah, not getting him reps throughout
not
the
getting
past
him reps
year
in
and
safety.
A half. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The year and a half now, you've known you don't have much depth at safety, and I think it's somewhat negligent to not have guys, taking more reps and preparing for this exact situation we're in right now. The other thing Jim Schwartz said yesterday, he goes, 72 snaps for Corey Graham. He goes, yeah, that's probably on the high side. And it's on the high side because you don't have anybody else. You're throwing Avante Maddox out there in the game's most crucial plays who's never played the position before.
Well, you're paper thin at safety.
Yeah.
And you already were because here's the thing. You knew you were paper thin because Corey Graham was the backup, and he's a serviceable backup.
Yeah, he's fine. Not for 72 snaps a game.
Right, not for 72 snaps a game, especially when your other quote-unquote backup is Chris Maragos, who really is not a safety.
No.
He's a special teamer.
No.
I know that he's hurt. But so that's even more reason to address the ridiculously thin depth at safety.
I just wish as a whole, as a fan base, we would not pinpoint Jalen Mills as the scapegoat of all this. I think it's an entire secondary unit. I think Darby has not been playing well. I don't think Mills has particularly played well. The safeties seem to be out of position from time to time when cornerbacks are expecting help over the top or over the middle, whatever it is. There just seems to be a lot of looking around that secondary when plays happen. Like, dude, that was you. Like, something is off with this unit. And you got a tough month ahead, man. You guys got to figure it out starting this Sunday because the Minnesota Vikings are coming to town. And oh, by the way, they have Kyle Rudolph, Adam Thielen, and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, it's probably the second best receiving core they've faced so far behind the Falcons.
I mean, it's up there in the league.
Right there with it's the Falcons, them, the Bucks. I mean,
the Rams are really good.
To be fair, the Eagles face a tremendous amount of really good receiving cores this year. They've already faced three with this week included.
Yeah, and maybe that's a part of all this.
Right, and that could be it. And what that says to me is, and we talked about this last night, was the Eagles may not be a product of them being a bad football team this year or a lesser football team this year. It's a product of the schedule being harder this year.
Oh, the schedule was brutal this year. I had them at 11-5. I'm still going to stick, somewhere close to that. I still think they're an 11-5-ish type of team. But if you're only going to lose three games the rest of the way, that's a tall drink of water right there.
Including six games within the division over the next 12.
Yeah.
And I know that the division stinks. It's not.
It's still division. Even last year when you look back at last year and that Giants game, it took a 63-yard Jake Elliott field goal, 62, whatever it was, to win that game. That was a hard-fought game, and the Giants stunk. So division games are never something you just chalk up as, oh, that's an easy one.
Well, that's the thing. Take a look at the divisional games last year. You mentioned that Giants game. The other Giants game where Nick Foles played, where, I mean, he lit them up, but the defense didn't play all that well. Yeah. Odell Beckham lit the Eagles up. Take a look at the two Redskins games. The first one was 30-17. It probably shouldn't have been.
That was the Fletcher Cox touchdown late
right
in the opener because I was there. So that score wasn't even, really reflective of what that game was.
The only two divisional games that I don't think like were up for grabs were the last one of the regular season where nobody played and they lost 6-0 to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the blowout to the Cowboys in Dallas.
Yeah.
But that game was 9-6 at halftime.
I think they have the best chances of blowing Dallas out of any of the division teams.
I would agree with that because the Giants seemingly have a game plan.
Eli knows how to play this defense.
Right.
And that's part of my problem with this season is I think the book is kind of out. Not that it's never, you know, it's not a, you know, secret code that was impossible to crack, but you've seen now if you don't sack the quarterback with this defense, you can pick them apart. And Jim Schwartz seems to mostly only care about the front four and getting home to the quarterback, and that's well and good, but if you're not getting to the quarterback, your secondary is going to suffer. So I just think there needs to be some audibles defensively, some changes. Jalen Mills is good in press coverage. That's a strength of his, whereas the open field and his 4.6 speed is not. So, you know, occasionally put your guys in positions that their strengths are, you know, best suited. So we'll see. But it's a tough one on Sunday. The Eagles, I believe, let me check the updated line, see if there's been any movement. But it opened at, you know, Eagles -2, -2.5. My stupid app is asking for some username now, so I can't even log in right now. I got to go to the website.
So Vegas Insider has them at -3.
Yeah, so I think it moved up to -3. My guess is it stays there. I don't think there's going to be a ton of line movement on this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a neutral site pick 'em.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
So they're fairly evenly, and it's two desperate teams that need a win in a really bad way, because otherwise you're going to get a Vikings team that had Super Bowl aspirations be 1-3-1 through 5 weeks, or the Eagles be 2-3.
Desperation is a stinky cologne, and the Vikings are that. The other issue with this team is pass protection, and frankly, it hasn't been good enough. I don't recall seeing Jason Peters and Lane Johnson just get worked in the same game ever. You usually, if one struggles, the other's locked down, and most of the time, they're both locked down. This past Sunday, they both, like, there was one where Jason Peters got tossed, and I was like, what world is this? And Lane Johnson got beat by Harold Landry on the outside. That was the one where Carson got hit in the face and fumbled. Probably should have been a roughing the passer call. It's kind of amazing, and maybe every fan base does this. Maybe we sound like sour grapes, but the penalty for landing on the quarterback when Carson slid that they picked up, and the forearm to the face mask penalty that led to a fumble, neither were called. And if that's any other star quarterback in this league, they're both called.
Any other star quarterback except for Cam Newton.
Yeah, probably.
Who gets no calls
he
at
doesn't.
All. But no, you're right. I mean, take a look at the Clay Matthews plays over the couple of weeks. And Alex Smith?
Yeah.
That's not a star quarterback?
I don't get those two calls, but whatever. I mean, that's old news. But pass protection is an issue, and Wendell Smallwood can't be out there. I'm sorry.
He's a liability.
He's a 100% liability, and the most important thing is Carson Wentz's health this season. Look, they could go 8-8. If Carson Wentz stays healthy, end of the day, that's all that really matters. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they got to win. They got to be better, and they should be better. But Carson Wentz needs to stay healthy, and right now, Wendell Smallwood is a complete liability in that regard. So, to me, you can't put him out there. We'll find out, I think, more about Sproles today from practice. I'm really hoping he's ready. I'm hoping Clement is back to good health, because those two are pretty good in pass protection, and that sixth guy is needed in a big way right now.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, when you look at the receiving core, now that Alshon Jeffery's back, it's a little bit more strengthened. But the problem is, when you have receivers who can't get open downfield, it causes concern with your offensive line, which in turn causes concern for, you know, just your franchise quarterback. But
yeah.
No big deal, right?
Yeah. It's just a, you know, two games into a surgically repaired knee. Whatever. But Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, was asked yesterday by Les Bowen, you know, pass protection seems to have taken a step back this year, and, you know, what's up with that? Mike doesn't really think it's a problem, per se. Here's Mike Groh yesterday.
Those are your words. I wouldn't say that. I mean, we've got as good an offensive line as there is in the league, and wouldn't trade any of those guys. And The guys on the other side, they do a lot of studying too, and they work hard. And they had a couple good pressures. They have a good pressure scheme. We knew that going into the game. They do a good job picking the offensive linemen up front, knocking guys off of off the games, and making it difficult to pass games and getting on the edges. And a couple instances that happened. And we've had a couple nakeds where we nakeded right into a pressure, and as a result in a sack. So it's a little bit bad timing too.
Yeah, they are one of the better offensive.
You're a child.
They are one of the better offensive lines, but they need to start acting like it.
No, I agree. And the way that Mike Rowe put that out, those are your words.
Yeah.
Yes, those are my words.
Yeah,
they played horribly.
Because we have eyes.
Right.
Mike.
Am I saying that this offensive line stinks? No.
No.
Did they stink on Sunday? Yes.
Yes. I was just talking to Trey yesterday, and he basically said, you know, Kelsey seems a little indecisive. Jason Peters doesn't seem like himself. Lane isn't doing his normal punching. So a former offensive lineman is noticing some bad tendencies right now.
And a pretty darn good one at that.
Yeah, he was a damn good one. So if he's noticing it, I'm sorry, Mike. I know you're putting on the face for the public, and you know what he says behind closed doors might be entirely different. But you got to figure something out. Whether you're going to have a tight end in more, whether you're going to have Sproles in on every passing down, whatever it is, they need some assistance right now because Carson Wentz's health is all that matters.
And the issue with that is if you are going to have Sproles in on every passing down, you are going to have to give him the bulk of the carries.
Yeah.
Because can't just put him on the field and say, oh, well, guess what? We're passing.
Yeah. It's a poker tip if you're
right.
Yeah. You're tipping your hand. Sal Pal said it's not too. And look, I don't think any of us think the sky is falling and the season is over by any means. But Sal Pal thinks it's not too late for the Eagles. They will beat the Vikings on Sunday.
I think it's fixable, though, Mike. I really do. I'm not want to. Listen, they're only 2-2. It's not like they're 2-4. They're going to beat Minnesota this week.
Sal's confident. Look, this Minnesota team defensively is not what we once thought they were. They, you know, their last five games or so, they're allowing points now at a much higher rate than they did the first, 14 games of last year. Everson Griffin is kind of going through some things, so I don't even think he's back with the team yet. Their defensive line, I think they lost, was it Sharif Floyd or is it Sheldon Richardson that was out there? One of the big D tackles got hurt. Sharif Floyd's actually a local kid that went to, I saw him play against LaSalle in the city championship. God,
was he a George Washington guy?
Yes, George Washington. Thank you for the brain fart. So Sharif, I believe he's hurt for the year. So their defensive line is not what it once was. This is no purple people eater defensive line. So, you know, the offensive line being at home, there's no excuses on Sunday. This is I hate to say game five of the season is a must win, but when you see the point differential that the defense allows at home compared to the road, because it's a 10-point-plus difference, you need to win on Sunday.
Well, and if you want to make yourself feel a little bit better, I thought week four was a must win because of this game coming up.
Well, and the tough schedule ahead, going to Jacksonville.
It doesn't get any easier.
London is a Jacksonville home game, essentially.
Right. And the Giants on a short week bugs me.
Yeah.
Because of what we saw happen last year.
And the Vikings are coming off 10 days rest.
Exactly.
So they have their hands full on Sunday for sure. But Sal's confident. I wish I shared that same confidence. I do. You know, I think they can win this game. I'm not saying it's no chance, but I can't say with any sort of confidence in my being right now that they're going to win on Sunday.
Well, and it's funny, too. You look at the Vikings depth chart on paper. And the names jump out to you. I mean, Daniel Hunter, Sheldon Richardson, Linval Joseph, even with Everson Griffin out, Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr.
I think Sheldon Richardson's the one that got hurt. Maybe Sharif Floyd went elsewhere.
Sharif Floyd, he had his contract voided for some kind of odd loophole. I didn't get a chance to read the whole article. That was just a quick check. But I will.
They did get Sheldon Richardson. That's what I thought.
Yes.
He's the Temple kid, right? Am I?
I'm almost 100%
certain.
Yeah,
Jets. He was with the Jets.
With the Jets for sure.
His
yes.
Contract. Yeah, he's the Temple kid.
Sheldon Richardson went to Missouri. The Temple one is Mo Wilkerson.
Ah, okay. That's funny that Sharif, Mo Wilkerson, and Sheldon Richardson all kind of are the same guy in my
blend
mind
together. And the funny thing is, I think Sharif Floyd's a D end, and I think the other two are D tackles.
Sharif, I thought Sharif was D-tackle. We're, whatever, we're going down to D-tackle. Yeah,
not good. People are going to rip us on Twitter for this at 5:20 in the morning.
Hey, I'm on my first coffee, people, all right? I'm getting my D-tackles mixed up. But coming up on the next segment, I want to play the Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail audio from yesterday as the Phillies look ahead to next season. And what is Matt Klentak's most important offseason ever? I think his tenure in Philadelphia is going to be tied to the moves of this upcoming offseason. If you had to give Matt Klentak quickly before the break a grade for his moves this past year, which mostly include Arrieta, Santana, was there any other, you know, nothing really.
I mean, the middling moves at the deadline.
Tommy Hunters. Yeah. I mean, I think the deadline moves were good. For the most part, I don't think you gave up anything of substance, and Wilson Ramos became one of your best hitters. If you had to rate his offseason last year, looking at this season now, between it's mostly Arrieta.
So we're playing with hindsight.
Yes.
Then it's like a D+.
Yeah.
If you were to say, don't look at hindsight, look at just what the options were when they made those moves, I probably would have given it like a B-. Because I'm a big Santana guy. I still like Santana, and I thought you had to pay Arrieta to get Arrieta like here.
D+.
I'd give it a D+.
I supported the moves at the time too, but in hindsight, you're right. It probably was a D+, at best C- move offseason for him. So this upcoming offseason, he's got to get an A.
And the issue is people complain about money. Money, money, money all the time. Money doesn't matter in baseball.
I don't care about money.
Money means nothing
in
baseball.
John Middleton's got plenty of money.
Right. And with their no cap, they're going to go over the luxury tax. Who cares?
Yeah.
The Yankees do it every year.
John Middleton's a billionaire. Right. I don't care what he spends, how he spends it. Well, actually, I do care how he spends it. I don't care what he spends.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be signing a $400 million deal. But if it's going to get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado here, let's make the move.
We'll play those cuts coming up for you next. I think they also have to consider getting a starting pitcher at some point here. I don't know who that's going to be.
If you want to spend the money, it's Patrick Corbin.
He's a stud.
That to me is the only arm that's worth spending the money.
Well, Kershaw, I guess they're saying, could opt out of his deal. He'll probably go back to the Dodgers, but you know, it's going to be interesting. It's a huge offseason for Klentak, and I think the Phillies are a little further away than what we once all thought. The Flyers drop the puck tomorrow night. Hockey season is getting underway. The Sixers are in China for some exhibition games with the Mavericks. They're not far away at all. We'll hear from some of those guys coming up next. 5 a.m. hours brought to you by Car Gurus. Go to cargurus.com today to find great deals from top-rated dealers near you. That's CARGURUS.com. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm Jamie Lynch. You're listening to the Fanatic at 5. Fanatic Sports Times 523.
The Home. Brian Westbrook, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Wendy's 4 for $4 is the deal you can count on every day. No catch, no strings attached, just 4 items for $4. Hence the name, 4 for $4. Choose one of 8 great options like the double stack, spicy chicken wrap, or junior bacon cheeseburger. And you get 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink. A full meal for just $4, only at Wendy's, baby. That's added value multiplied by tons of goodness. Because the 4 for $4 is what you need when you need it. So turn that car around and hit your nearest Wendy's today.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Meal includes 4-piece chicken nuggets, small fries, and small drink. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Today's the day to get motivated, to be inspired, to start listening. And now with Audible, for just $14.95 a month, you get any audiobook of your choice and 2 Audible originals. Plus, for the first time ever, exclusive fitness and wellness programs all included with your membership. And if you don't like a book, exchange it at any time. So make today the day you start listening to Audible. Start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook for free at audible.com.
Walk or run on Saturday, October 6th, and you'll be helping the Salvation Army fight human trafficking in Greater Philadelphia. It's the 4th annual Human Trafficking Awareness 5K Walk Run, presented by She's My Sister Ministry of the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church. The race begins at 8 a.m. on Saturday, October 6th, at Memorial Hall, Fairmont Park in Philadelphia. All proceeds go to help support the Salvation Army's new Day to Stop Trafficking program. For more information and to register online, visit safilly.org.
Life is too short to be stuck in one place. We were made to move. And there's just something about the great outdoors that's good for the soul. The incline builds strength, and reaching the top builds character. We don't back down, and when it gets tough, we get tougher. So So pull on your Ariat boots and find your next adventure in new Ariat styles. In this life, don't just exist, live. Ariat and Boot Barn. Live free.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know. Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Hey, it's autumn, and it's time for the Autumn at Aaron's event when just $5 gets you started. That's right, just $5 gets you started leasing to own furniture, electronics, and appliances from brands you love. GE, Philips, LG, and more. With no credit needed and free delivery and setup, visit your local Aaron's store or Aaron's.com now through October 11th. It's time for cool breezes and cool deals. Plus, just $5 gets you started during the Autumn at Aaron's event. At participating Aaron's stores, transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply.
Staples knows that in business, everything is urgent. You can't put off until tomorrow what you need to do now. You don't need to print sometimes. You have to be able to print at any time. Which is why at Staples, your ink and toner is always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples printing event, our prices are even lower. Right now at Staples, get $25 off any two HP toner cartridges. Which is good, because right now is when you need it, if not sooner.
Ends 10-6-18. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/toner savings for details.
What gives one company the edge over another? Maybe it's not one thing. Maybe it's taking care of lots of things that help a business run smoothly. In other words, Cintas. Cintas has products that help your people stay safe and apparel programs that convey the right image. They service fire protection equipment, deliver and stock restroom supplies, and make sure facilities are clean and ready. Because when all those things work together, you're in business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Just in time for a style upgrade, it's Macy's Men's Designer Suiting Event with 70 to 85% off. Lauren Ralph Lauren and Calvin Klein Wool Suiting, originally $600, now just $149.99. Suits and suit separates, $79.99 to $169.99. Sport coats and blazers, $39.99 to $79.99. Dress pants, shirts, and ties are just $14.99 to $24.99. Right now at Macy's. Savings off regular and original prices. Exclusions apply.
Buy Pacifica Hybrid, America's first and only hybrid minivan. It's so quiet, I can finally hear myself think. I should totally adopt a puppy. Ugh, what are you talking about? I have too many nice shoes. I also have a 566-mile driving range. Chrysler really gave 110% making this bad boy. Oops, green light.
Introducing the 84 MPGe Pacifica Hybrid. Chrysler Pacifica. Up your van game. Based on latest available competitive information. Range based on manufacturer estimates. EPA estimate with a fully charged battery and estimated miles per gallon of gasoline equivalent MPGe. Actual mileage may vary. Chrysler is a registered trademark of SCA US LLC.
Philly's official Sixers station. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Fanatic at 5. Jamie Lynch with Tyler, Julie, and Benny Odita. Happy Wednesday morning, everyone. I think it's supposed to be a nice day out today. I think it's kind of hot. The weather's been weird. Putting the air on in October is not usually something I do. But
you put the air on for 4 hours, yeah. And then it's off again because in the night it dips down to what it's supposed to be.
Well, sleeping, I need to be at the right temperature. If the slightest little bit of sweat hits my head, I become miserable and I toss and turn.
I'm a fan on high with, like, you know, December.
My fan broke. Oh, I want the ceiling fan on 24.
Right. You put a second blanket on.
365 days a year. Like, I want constant air movement and circulation.
That dead air is the worst.
But we don't have a ceiling fan in our bedroom, and the desktop fan broke. So we're fanless right now. And it's so I fight for the air conditioning. We do that battle. Of she's a big windows open person, which so am I, but...
You mean she likes to conserve money is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, but she
like a normal person would.
She would have the house at 74, 75 degrees.
That's gross.
And that disgusts me.
That's awful.
I'm a 71, you know, kind of guy, like pretty consistently. But it's supposed to be a hot one today. Strange for October 3rd, you know, some of the heat we've been getting, but nothing about our weather is normal anymore. During the break here, I saw a stat from NFL Matchup on ESPN. It's talking about the Eagles' third down pass defense. So the I'll just read the exact tweet and give me your reaction from this. Eagles third down pass defense from today from the first four games. I went through whoever I guess runs this account. It doesn't claim an author. It says main thing is guys need to get on the same page. I've watched the third down situations from the first four games. And here's how the Eagles defense breaks down during those games or during those third down situations. 48% of the time they're in man coverage. 52% of the time they're in zone coverage. 83% of the time they're in single high safety, in parentheses, high tendency. They've only allowed one touchdown, but it was the game winner versus Tennessee. They blitz 33% of the time. And quarterbacks in third down situations versus defense, 8 for 14. Third down pass D. So I guess just pass situations. Because I was going to say 14. There's no way this defense has only faced 14. The quarterbacks are 8 for 14, 98 yards, one sack. What jumps out after reading that stat line to you?
I think two things jump out to me. And the first one is I'm curious as to what their definition of blitz is. Does it just have to be five guys? You know, an extra guy? Because 33% almost seems a little bit high.
It does seem high.
I thought that number would be lower. What really concerns me, and we were just kind of, you know, going back and forth with it, that's single high safety. How often they go into that fold.
Yeah.
And when it's Rodney McLeod, it's acceptable because you know that he's got that makeup speed. But I don't know if I want Corey Graham as a single high safety or, you know.
I don't know if Corey Graham wants to be the single high safety.
Right, and it doesn't allow Malcolm Jenkins to creep up the line and do what he does best.
Yeah, and, you know, when you have Jalen Mills biting on double moves and you have Darby playing 10, 15 yards off and, you know, you need some help over the top. And look, I know they love playing Malcolm down in the box, and we were talking about it during the break. I don't have the numbers to back this up. I would love to try and dive into it and find it. If I had to guess, Malcolm's in the box or down low 70 to 75% of the time. Like, he, I feel like, rarely plays a true safety anymore.
Well, yeah, he's one of the kind of new breed hybrid safety linebacker, which is great.
When you have McLeod.
Right.
Now that you don't have McLeod and you have Corey Graham back there for 72 snaps a game, maybe it's time to say, oh, maybe I can't have that luxury of having Malcolm play up in the box that often.
You have to readjust your thought process.
Yeah, and we haven't seen that. And granted, it was only one game with Corey Graham, so maybe it'll be different on Sunday. I don't want to crucify Jim yet because, you know, it's his first game and maybe...
Yeah, in reality, it's one game.
Yeah, maybe he realized after watching the tape, like, I left Corey Graham on an island with Jalen Mills a lot and that's not ideal.
And the thing is with the Eagles, and it's with all NFL and with all football teams, is because the season's so truncated, every game looks a lot more important than like, let's say, an NBA game or an MLB game. You're looking at NFL games under such a tight microscope that you kind of forget that sometimes one game is one game.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we take that one game, well, you know, because there's only 16 regular season games, I think sometimes we take that to the other sports and overanalyze. You know, single game.
Like
sometime.
A 1-0-for-10 night from Robert Covington.
Yeah,
he's again the worst player in the NBA.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of the Sixers, they're over in China. I saw a bunch of the guys posted on Instagram last night. Teams over there for, I think they're playing two versus the Mavericks and then back home pretty quickly.
One in Shanghai and one in Shenzhen.
Oh.
So they're playing in two different spots.
I've always wanted to go to China. That would be pretty cool. Basketball in the NBA over there is obviously huge. And just from the reaction, I saw these guys getting off the buses.
A 15-hour flight would not be enjoyable.
Well, when you get to fly in a high luxury charter it makes it a little different. These guys aren't in coach with two fatzos on either side taking up their armrests and farting. You know what I mean? Like, they're laying back. They got their tablets. They got their Wi-Fi. They got plenty of movies. You know, they're not that bad.
And seats that are meant for normal people.
Yeah, they're reclining.
You know, not tiny people seats.
Yeah, they're those business class reclining seats. They're probably fine. But yeah, that's a long flight. But, you know, they're going to be rock stars over there for these couple days. I saw, and Ben Simmons, obviously, you know, being an Australian, Australians travel a lot to Asia. So I'm sure he's bigger than a lot of other people over there right now. So it'll be cool. I mean, I don't know what time. I didn't even look at the schedule to see what time these games are going on.
7:30 Friday morning.
See, I'll be at work. And
so we'll be here, yeah.
Yeah, I can have it on, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be on, I think the Sixers are streaming it.
It's stream only?
I think so.
Yeah, Comcast isn't sending over the huge crew to China. Yeah, that's going to cost a pretty penny. But yes, and is it two games over there or just the one?
Yeah, two games.
And it's the other one Sunday?
Monday, I'm sorry. Monday at 8 a.m.
8 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. basketball. Get excited.
Get excited!
But that'll be cool. In other news, the Flyers start their season tomorrow night. It snuck up on me, I'm not going to lie. Hockey, why do they start so early? It's such a long
season. It's a very, very long season. Because you're going to be playing the Cup in May and June.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I've referred to myself as a Zamboner in the past. I'm the, you know, hockey's my fourth. I can't get into hockey this early.
There's just too much going on.
Yeah.
And like, listen, if you're a hockey one, you know, like I'm a baseball one. Yeah. I think you're a football one, but I could be wrong.
Basketball was okay as a kid.
But regardless, yeah. If you're a hockey one, go ahead and enjoy it. I'm not stopping.
Yeah, no, it's great for the people that are. But for me, the fourth guy,
yeah.
I'm going, really, I can't get into hockey October 3rd.
I've got playoff baseball still.
Yeah.
I've got college football. I've got the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
Just too much for me right now.
Speaking of playoff baseball, did you watch the games last night?
That was unbelievable. Unbelievable game.
Which one were you watching primarily?
So the Rockies and Cubs was the game.
That's the one I fell asleep to that one. But yeah, very cool thing. After the playing games on Monday, the Cubs had to basically do another one. And
well, have you heard the stat about the Rockies travel?
Yeah, didn't they do
2,600 miles in the last 5 days? So they played in They played in Washington, or was it home against Washington? Regardless, they played the Nats on Sunday, whatever it was. They played the Nats. Then they went to L.A. to play the Dodgers in game 163. Then they went to Chicago last night to play the wild card game. Now they got to go to Milwaukee to play the Brewers tomorrow.
That's brutal.
It's a rough schedule.
That's brutal. But, yeah, smack dab in the middle of the MLB playoff race. Basketball's getting underway. College and pro football going on. You know, a lot on the table. And you know, I'm not ready to dive headfirst into hockey just yet.
Not quite.
And that's not a unique to the Flyers thing. I just think the league starts way too early. And
from afar.
Yeah, like if I dive in when it's cold outside. I can't get into it when, you know, I might go golf today and then I'm supposed to watch a hockey game at night. Like, that just doesn't add up.
Doesn't work for me.
In my head. But regardless, it's a huge
offseason. Jason's going to kill us, but.
And nobody cares about hockey, Jason. You know, the Phillies, it's a huge offseason for them. Matt Klintak and the guys have to get this right. And Matt Klintak talked, this is more about Gabe the other day. And I'm curious, we'll play this cut and then I want to get your Gabe grade for the year. Here's Gabe Kapler, courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia, talking about kind of outperforming expectations this year and what's ahead.
We don't have to look at the 2018 as solely a good season or a bad season. It was both in a lot of ways. But if you look at the body of work that over, you know, 162 games, we made incredible strides on the pitching side of things. We won 14 more games. We outperformed our preseason expectations. That's not to minimize how dreadful the final 6 weeks were. I'm not trying to do that. But when you're looking at baseball, you know, season to season and evaluating progress season to season and looking forward to next year, there's no other way to look at this season than as a positive.
Your Gabe Kapler grade on the year.
That is a tough question because I think Gabe gets some crap that he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I would give him
grade.
My grade's a C to a C+, because there were times where Gabe looked like he was turning a corner and making the right calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be times where he would revert back to old Gabe and start Carlos Santana at third base in a game that you have to win.
Yeah. I'd probably go B, like a low B, B minus, whatever you want to call it, something like that. I think it was a good learning experience for him. if you believe everything he says, that, you know, he's hypercritical of himself, he takes fans, you know, criticism and media's criticism to mind and does, you know, critique himself and his moves from it. So I think he's, knowing how nuts this guy is, in a good way, I say nuts, I do believe he'll go back and watch, like, every game over the course of the offseason and realize maybe mistakes he made, situations he overmanaged in, stuff like that. So, look, it's a person's first year on the job. I don't think anybody's really great their first year on the job, regardless of what your job is. I know my first year in radio, I was probably ass. You know, I got better over time, just like every single person got better over time with their job. So I do think he's going to process all of this, try and get better, and let's hope having a little more talent in the lineup and some consistency to that lineup will allow him to improve more. So we'll see. I don't think, you know, obviously Gabe's not going anywhere, but I guess I would call this season a somewhat of a success.
Yeah, it was an ass season, and you have to look at it from the perspective of the team last year to this year.
Yeah,
and they won 11 extra games.
The big thing is developmental wise. I don't think they really took that next step.
It's how they ended up at 80 that annoys people more than the fact that they were at 80.
Yeah, and like your Kingery development wasn't. You know, look, he got a lot of fielding experience, but otherwise, I don't think having him in 0-2 counts for the most in baseball is a good thing for his development.
Agree.
Nick Williams didn't really take that next step per se. Neither did Altair. Odubel took a step back. So, developmentally, I think, you know, I would give it a D. Gabe, overall, I would give it, you know, kind of like a B-minus, something in that range. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm Jamie Lynch. You're listening to Fanatic at 5, Fanatic Sports Science 541.
The Missinelli Station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
National DCP, the distribution and business solution company serving the local franchisees of Dunkin' Donuts, are now looking for experienced Class A drivers and warehouse selectors to add to their team in West Hampton, New Jersey. With an easy commute from Philadelphia, Camden, and Trenton, Class A drivers can enjoy a 5-day work week with early morning start times. Warehouse selectors can enjoy a 4-day work week. NDCP offers weekly paychecks and health coverage after only 30 days. If you have a minimum of 2 years Class A driving experience or 1 year of warehouse experience and live in the Trenton, Camden, or Philadelphia area, this may be the opportunity you are looking for. Visit nationaldcp.com to submit an application. Class A drivers with NDCP earn $28 per hour, and warehouse selectors are offered $20.25 per hour. Submit an application and get more information today at nationaldcp.com. That's nationaldcp.com, or call 770-369-8700. Again, that's 770-369-8700.
This Halloween, make your house that house. The one that screams Halloween. The Home Depot can help with free delivery on all your online orders of spooky yard decor. Get life-size witches, posable skeletons, fierce-looking dragons, even zombie horses. Yeah, that's a thing. Give those trick-or-treaters the show they deserve and get free delivery on all your online Halloween orders. Only from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Free delivery, no minimum purchase, valid online only.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
My Pacifica Hybrid, America's first and only hybrid minivan, is so quiet I can finally hear myself think. I should totally adopt a puppy. Ugh, what are you talking about? I have too many nice shoes. I also have a 566-mile driving range. Chrysler really gave 110% making this bad boy. Oops, green light.
Introducing the 84 MPGE Pacifica Hybrid. Chrysler Pacifica. Up your van game. Based on latest available competitive information, range based on manufacturer estimates, EPA estimate with a fully charged battery and estimated miles per gallon of gasoline equivalent MPGE. Actual mileage may vary. Chrysler is a registered trademark of SCA US LLC.
Life is too short to be stuck in one place. We were made to move. And there's just something about the great outdoors that's good for the soul. The incline builds strength, and reaching the top builds character. We don't back down, and when it gets tough, we get tougher. So pull on your Ariat boots and find your next adventure in new Ariat styles. In this life, don't just exist, live. Ariat and Boot Barn.
live free.
Staples knows that in business, everything is urgent. You can't put off until tomorrow what you need to do now. You don't need to print sometimes. You have to be able to print at any time. Which is why at Staples, your ink and toner is always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples printing event, our prices are even lower. Right now at Staples, get $25 off any two HP toner cartridges. Which is good, because right now is when you need it, if not sooner.
Ends 10-6-18. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/toner savings for details.
Hey, it's autumn, and it's time for the Autumn at Aaron's event, when just $5 gets you started. That's right, just $5 gets you started leasing to own furniture, electronics, and appliances. Appliances from brands you love. GE, Philips, LG, and more. With no credit needed and free delivery and setup. Visit your local Aaron's store or Aaron's.com now through October 11th. It's time for cool breezes and cool deals. Plus, just $5 gets you started during the Autumn at Aaron's event. At participating Aaron's stores, transaction advertised as a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply.
What gives one company the edge over another? Maybe it's not one thing. Maybe it's taking care of lots of things that help a business run smoothly. In other words, Cintas. Cintas has products that help your people stay safe and apparel programs that convey the right image. They service fire protection equipment, deliver and stock restroom supplies, and make sure facilities are clean and ready. Because when all those things work together, you're in business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
My lawn's been worn out by summer. Not to mention by my kids.
This year, use Scotts in the fall. Just one more feeding gives your grass the nourishment it needs to recover from the wear and tear of summer, while also building resilient roots to help prevent a weak, thin lawn next spring.
This fall, my kids and my grass are back out to play.
This is a Scotts yard. Now's the time to feed your lawn. Pick up a bag of Scotts Winter Guard today.
Voted best sports talk station by you. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back in. Last segment left on The Fanatic at 5. I'm Jamie Lynch. He's Tyler Zuli. Rob Motti and D-Line, I'm coming up at 6 o'clock today. Adam Schefter will be joining the show at 8 a.m. for the latest around the league. And I guess one of the big league stories that came out yesterday is Le'Veon Bell, all you fantasy owners out there, like myself. It appears week 7 during the bye week, he's going to report to Steelers facility and I guess begin playing week 8.
Go ahead and exhale for a second. And then realize that Le'Veon Bell is going to be used just like he was.
There is the Jason LaConfora report that the Eagles are interested, and I think Le'Veon's a Rosenhaus guy, but I think he put something out basically like, I think the Eagles would be on a short list of teams that are interested in me in free agency. So...
Where does the money come from?
Yeah, I just don't know if the Eagles value running back like that. I think the reason they got Ajayi because he was on a rookie deal, so it's not very expensive.
And we all assume that he's not back next year. Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's not.
Right, and that's what kind of goes to your point. Just expect him. He comes off that rookie deal. See ya.
Yeah, I just don't think they value fiscally that position as much as Le'Veon Bell's going to get.
I think good running backs make good offensive lines and vice versa. And you have, I know we bashed them earlier in the show, but you have a good offensive line and it makes running backs better.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go out and spend the big crazy bucks for a back that when you know that position really has a shelf life of 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I would consider trading for him more than I would consider signing him.
For the rest of this year?
Yes.
What, then you just take your chances?
You're pushing in and prorated. He's owed $9 million over the rest of the year. By week 8, it'll actually be probably about 7.5.
So what are you willing to give up?
I would give up one of your 2 second-rounders.
You would give up a 2?
I'd like to get that done now.
Right. Okay.
As opposed to, you know, week 8. But, yeah, I would give up a 2. Because I'm worried about Ajayi's back and Darren Sproles' age.
Oh, he looks like a man out there right now.
Ajayi. Yeah, but then at the same time, you saw him go down at one point and he's grabbing his back.
He's wincing, yeah.
I mean, if you've ever had a back problem, it's awful. It affects everything. I can't imagine going into NFL piles and getting popped on the side and in the back from NFL linebackers and that feeling good.
And you got to think, too, he goes down into the bottom of that pile. I know he's got a back plate, but you've got to think they're throwing punches, they're throwing elbows.
So I'm a little concerned about that. I'm not going to lie. Darren Sproles, you know, you love, but he's not your workhorse back. You're just missing kind of a home run threat, per se. And they have guys that can do it, but you're missing it. So if a second round pick gets me Le'Veon Bell
for 7 games plus postseason,
yeah, I'm probably doing it.
I think the problem is we're gonna hindsight look that deal.
The other problem is you got to figure out the cap too.
Right, you have to maneuver the cap, and then if the Eagles end up making a deep run, I'm not saying you've got to win the Super Bowl again, but if they make a run to, let's say, the NFC title game, it's a great deal. If they get bounced in the wild card round, you're going to say you got 6 games for a second round pick, totally. And you're not getting back.
Oh, totally. It's a ballsy move, but I think what we've seen from Howie is that he's a ballsy guy. And I don't think there's any denying that running back hasn't been the position of need the most by any means. Like, it's been a fairly strong position. But Le'Veon Bell is the best in the league probably when he's healthy, and he's great at pass protection. He's great at receiving out of the backfield. He's just overall a great player, so it's hard not to consider it. I would sleep on that. The trickier part, I think, is figuring out the salary cap, but Howie's, you know, brilliant in converting things to bonuses, you know, moving stuff around, this and that. Did you know who the second Eagle is on cap hit for this season?
In terms of who's making the most money?
Yes, strictly cap hit.
I would have to say number one's got to be Fletcher Cox, right?
Correct. 17.9 he's 10% of the cap.
That's insane. Number two.
Well, get ready because Carson's probably going to be like 17% of the cap.
A ridiculous amount. But number two, my assumption would be number two is Alshon Jeffrey.
He's not even in the top 8 or 9.
Really? Is it Jason Peters?
Jason Peters is third. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's about 10th. He is 2.24% of the cap. He's only...
Oh, you know what? I know who it is.
Yeah, do you know?
It's Nick Foles, isn't it?
Yep. 13.6 against the cap. He's 7.6% of your total cap hit.
But that's dead money at the end of the year.
It is. And I think, you know, his base salary is only $4 million, but then he's got a roster bonus, a signing bonus. He's got a miscellaneous bonus of another $4 million. But that's what I mean. Howie's great at moving that stuff around. Like, Nick Foles is getting paid 4 different ways to get to $13.6 million. And his dead cap number is $12 million. So, he's not going anywhere. So how they rank cap-wise, it goes Fletcher Cox, Nick Foles, Jason Peters, Brandon Graham, Carson Wentz, Jason Kelsey, Michael Bennett, Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, Brandon Brooks, Alshon.
Well, and the beauty of that is I don't think people realize how high Carson is on that list already on his rookie deal.
He's 4% of the cap.
Just because he's the number two pick.
Yeah, he's $7.2 million against the cap.
It's going to be a big increase, but it's not as
his base
monstrosity as you think.
Yeah, his base salary is only $630,000.
Right. It's all signing bonuses for being the second number two overall pick.
It's a $4.4 million signing bonus, a roster bonus, but Howie's creative like that. So, you know, I don't doubt he could get something done. Chance Warmack making $2
million. Money that's going to come off next year.
Yeah, he's 1.3 dead, so you can't even like move. It would have to be converted bonuses in some way to make it work. There's not a ton of guys without dead money hits that you could get rid of that would really... help you out in any sort of way. But, you know, the Vikings are coming to town on Sunday. I wanted to sneak in Nick. Sorry, Nick, we're coming up against it. I want to get you in, but we really can't. Thanks for calling in, though. Hang tight if you want to talk to Rob and D. The Vikings are coming into town. The Eagles are at home, 3-point favorite. Their defense at home is a totally different team than on the road. They allow 10 points fewer a game, so you hope they get back on track this weekend. I'd like to see better games from Doug and Jim, personally. I think Doug's, I don't want to say slipping this year, but he's un-Doug-like, which right now, in the back of my head, the little doubt that's hanging in there and talking to me says he misses Frank Reich.
I think it goes back to that one great line in Remember the Titans, attitude reflects leadership.
Yeah.
And play on the field, I think, reflects leadership, too, and it's play calling.
Yeah, and just that third down play before the half last week really was just, I was like, what? Doug, what are you? Who are you, man? Get back to your
invasion
root.
Of the body snatchers.
Yeah, so I hope he's not missing Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. I'd like to see some adjustments out of Jim on Sunday, but it is what it is, and then they got to get it right. And by getting it right, you can essentially end Minnesota's year, which is nice to say.
It would be very odd to think that a team that had high aspirations to be a Super Bowl team is going to be fighting for their life 5 weeks into the season.
You like that? So it could be good in that way. Thanks to Benny for producing the show. Rob and D are coming up next. Tyler will be together again on Friday, I believe. So we'll see each other then. Thanks for listening to Fanatic at 5, Fanatic Sports Times 555.